After a week has gone by since our Easter celebration began, well, of course, as we know, it continues for the next 5 weeks after this even, we know that the euphoria of the resurrection can sometimes wear off for us, that we may have even gone forth last week ready to boldly declare that Christ was risen, to tell people this good news of God's conquering of sin and death. And maybe as we stepped out from these four walls, we found ourselves in a position where that wasn't as easy to do as when we were gathered here singing our songs and shouting out hosannas and alleluias. Indeed, we may have even run into some pushback, perhaps within ourselves, perhaps around ourselves, pushback against this narrative, or at least the triumphant proclamation of it. That was the case for us this past week. Then we find ourselves with the disciples, the apostles, today in our reading from Acts. They too have been sharing the good news of the resurrection. They have been making statements about Jesus' power and authority and that he has been raised from the dead, and this has gotten them into trouble. But the religious authorities have already told them not to teach in the name of Christ, and yet they continue, they persist, and because of this, they are dragged before councils and thrown into jail. And now they are dragged before this council once more. The same council that they know put Jesus to death is wondering, why are they still teaching in this name that they were forbidden to proclaim? I mean, you have to imagine this is in a challenging and uncomfortable place to be, that we would not want to be at odds with authorities that could demand our death or to cast us in prison. It would be difficult indeed to persist in our proclamation of the gospel if these were the consequences. Indeed, we largely do not face such consequences and yet still find it difficult to hold on to an exuberant proclamation of the gospel, the good news that Christ is raised. Indeed, generally, I think this is because we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to challenge authorities around us, whether they're religious or secular. We don't want to disturb and upset our family members, our friends, or even complete strangers. And that feels, for lack of a better term, uncomfortable to us. Of course, this isn't just about discomfort, I think. Part of the reasons that we are inhibited in our joyful proclamation of the good news, of our bearing witness to all that Christ has done, I think, is because of our fear. Fear for a variety of things. Perhaps we're afraid of what people might do to us, as we could be if we were the apostles. Or maybe we're afraid of what they might think of us. They may not hold us in as high regard or like us as well, and that might bother us a little. We might be afraid that we won't do a good enough job if we would bear witness to Christ, that we don't know enough, that we couldn't answer all of the questions, that we might be doing more harm than good in our sharing. I think that makes us a little bit afraid. And perhaps we're afraid of how strong our own faith might be if it were to face questions and doubts that we couldn't answer. How would our faith hold up in such a state? And so our fears lock us down, quite literally, just as we see the disciples in our gospel reading locked away out of fear. Yet thankfully, in the midst of our fears, Jesus steps forth. Jesus is found in the middle of this locked room in order to drive out the disciples' fears and offer them peace. After making this statement once, Jesus proves that it's really him, shows them his hands and his side, and they rejoice that it's true, Christ is raised from the dead. And in their joy, Jesus once more proclaims peace. They will need peace to reign in their hearts and in their minds if they are to go forth to bear witness, which is the call that Jesus gives them. They are not allowed to stay and locked away out of fear. No, they are sent into the world, just as God sent Jesus into the world, to bear witness to what God has done. But of course, even though they have experienced directly the good news of the resurrection, they then, oh, this is certainly true. Jesus does not send them out alone. Jesus breathes on them and invites them to know the power of the Holy Spirit, that this one goes with them as they make their public proclamation, as they bear witness in the world to what God has been up to. And we see that Spirit at work in both our first reading and our gospel reading. In our first reading, we hear that the Spirit bears witness alongside the apostles. They are confident as they stand before this tribunal, before this council, to proclaim the good news of the resurrection, because the Spirit proclaims this same news, that they too will proclaim the forgiveness of sins offered in Christ, because the Holy Spirit proclaims this as well, that they can say without a doubt, we must obey God rather than men, because God, the Holy Spirit, is bearing witness alongside them that this is true, that the resurrection has happened. And we see the Holy Spirit also, not quite as bold perhaps, but certainly persistent in our gospel reading. These disciples go to find Thomas. They share with him the good news. They have seen the Lord. But they don't demand that he reach the same conclusion that they do. They're content just to share their witness, their testimony to Thomas, and to invite him back to come join them once more, clearly, since he is with them. I think this is a strength that requires the Holy Spirit as well, one that says we don't question ourselves when we are challenged, like when Thomas says, I will not believe until this happens. Nor do we demand that others have our faith. We simply invite, just as the apostles do too. They don't demand the council hold their same faith, though they offer and say, you could know the forgiveness of sins if you could repent. Nor do they quake in fear that of what these humans might do to them. No, the Holy Spirit gives us this conviction that allows us to continue to bear witness to God, matter-of-factly and in straightforward ways that do not let up, but also do not course. And so when Thomas comes and demands the same ultimate sign that the disciples themselves have already received, Jesus showed them his hands and his side, and that was probably in the telling. And sure enough, Jesus shows up for Thomas. Jesus invites Thomas to do the very thing he is asked to do. Put your hands in my side, stick your finger in these holes. Do not doubt, but believe. Jesus wants to overcome our insecurities, our uncertainties, our fears, whatever it may be that would prevent us and hold us up from believing the truth of the resurrection. Here, Jesus is overcoming for Thomas. And Thomas, alongside the other disciples, sees the truth of this good news, doesn't need any further proof, and is able to say, my Lord and my God. Thomas too, alongside these other disciples, is sent out to proclaim this good news that he himself has encountered and received. This then is our experience as well, brothers and sisters. Today we are invited to know the good news that Christ is here in our midst. We who might be locked away in our hearts and our minds, who might not feel comfortable making our witness and our testimony known in this world, who might be afraid for a whole variety of reasons, have Christ show up in this bread and wine, in this body and blood, speaking peace to us. Here we know the good news that Christ is alive, that our sins are forgiven, that life and love are extended to us through Christ. And this in turn drives out our fears, unlocks our minds and our hearts, and sends us out into the world as God sent Christ into the world. We are sent out to celebrate and share this love that we have received. We are sent out with the Holy Spirit to have this conviction that all are welcomed here. That our friends, our strangers, our family members, all those who might push back and challenge us are welcome to hear an invitation that says, Christ is alive, come and see. You are welcome in this place. You too can encounter Christ's presence. As we recognize the joy we have of standing in that presence, of knowing without a doubt that our Lord and our God lives and is here, strengthening us and nourishing us, we can only cry out with joy-filled voices, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.